Dallas Cowboys might have gotten the win, but they accomplished absolutely nothing last night. I've never walked away from a game feeling like, man, did both teams lose? That was bad.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. I'm not the type to try and rain on anybody's parade. I'm also not the type to try and make something out of nothing. But last night's Thursday night football game was absolutely that. It was a big pile of nothing. Between the Dallas Cowboys looking like more of what we knew they were 3 weeks into the season, and the New York Giants seemingly not trying. Like, absolutely giving no level of aggression. Almost as if Brian Daboll walked into that game knowing they had no shot of beating the Cowboys, even at home, even when the Cowboys gave them every opportunity. He failed to show any level of aggression, any level of confidence in his offense. A lot of that might have to do with Daniel Jones, but maybe he was just as bored as me and was just ready for that game to be over with. The Cowboys win 20-15 in East Rutherford, New Jersey. And I still walk away from a Thursday night football game that failed to maintain my attention for most of it. Like, C-Cat, and again, it's your boy Theo Dorsey. We're riding it out with you. My boy C-Cat on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos, per usual, on a Friday here on Theoretically Speaking. Like, I don't know what your viewing setup was last night for Thursday night football. I decided going into that game, I knew the Cowboys and the Giants, these aren't playoff teams. These aren't teams that are going to matter come the end of the year. So I was like, you know what, baby? Looked at my wife, said, hey, you get the big screen. I'll watch Thursday Night Football on my phone, especially because it's on Prime Video. You just hop on the app. It was pretty easy. So I had Thursday Night Football going on my phone. We were watching Monsters. The story of the Eric and Lyle Menendez, the Menendez brothers, which apparently, C-Cad, you didn't know who the Menendez brothers were.
No, I thought this was something that's on HGTV where they also do property selling, like the Property Brothers.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
To be fair, I said, yeah, we were watching the Menendez brothers, and C-Cad gave me that look of like, okay, like, why should I care? And I just assumed you would know who they were because the name does resonate a bit with me. It was before my time as well, but I'm a little bit older, and I guess that's where that line of demarcation between you and I rely, because I am familiar with the story of the Menendez brothers, that it was two spoiled kids in Beverly Hills. They murdered their parents in the 90s in Beverly Hills, and now this is like just like the Jeffrey Dahmer story that Netflix did. This is a sequel in that same rendition. Did you catch the Dahmer Monster series?
I watched a little bit of it. I couldn't get through more than one episode because I can handle like weirdness and gore and violence. That was too much for me.
It was a lot.
I didn't watch that. I'm like, wow, I'm glad I watched that. I was like, do I got to keep watching this? This is bad.
Yeah, I watched all the way through, and I'm not usually a crime, NCIS or Law and Order type dude, but I watched the Dahmer one. It was a tough watch. It was a lot of really rough and vigorous scenes, very traumatic stuff. Got through it. The Menendez brother one is good as well. We got through like three episodes last night as I was watching Thursday Night Football. And this game was such a bore outside of a few huge plays. Malik Nabers.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like that, when he crossed Buddy up and was standing there wide open, I saw somebody on Twitter say he looked like an outfielder waiting on a fly ball. That play, that got me out of my seat.
Yeah, I screamed at my television, how is he wide open? All of pregame, all the week leading up to this was, Malik Nabers is the Giants offense. He proved it last week. So you got to imagine that the Cowboys are thinking, okay, looks like Daniel Jones is going to look for Malik Nabers on third down. It's third down. They need 10 yards. Who do they go to? Malik Nabers. And then they show the replay where he injured a player. And a player's ego, a player's integrity, and their ankles.
I would prefer, and that was number 25 for the Cowboys. I won't say his name for the sake of his own family. I don't want the family name tied to what happened to him on that field. Like, I don't know. I would prefer to get ran over, like Derrick Henry truck-sticked, than to what happened to number 25 on the Cowboys last night when Malik Nabers just blew right by him with a double move. That was ugly. Looked like somebody chopped his knees right out from under him. And it was a simple double move, but that just shows you how prolific the Malik Nabers is. We'll get into my big three takeaways from Giants Cowboys last night, but it couldn't even hold my attention for most of the game because I was simultaneously on the big screen watching the Menendez brothers story, which is actually very, very captivating, very well shot. Love the directing, love the produce. You know, some stuff is poorly produced, very low quality. This stuff is, it was really, really good. And we got three episodes in, and there were times when the Thursday night football game would go to break, and then I'd put it down for a second and I'd be watching, you know, the Menendez brothers stuff, and I would forget I was watching a football game. You know, like a good football game, when you go to a commercial break, you're like, damn, I can't wait to see what's going to happen on third down. But I knew with the Giants and Cowboys, I was like, yeah, well, Daniel Jones is going to throw the ball into the ground and they're going to punt it.
And they're playing three down football. They're not going to go for it on fourth and short. Oh, yeah. And by the way, the number 25 on the Cowboys, you didn't want to dox.
Yeah.
Even though on live prime TV last night, he got crossed over and hit the ground. The boy touched the earth. Yeah. Andrew Booth Jr. went to Clemson, went to Archer High School.
Oh.
Andrew Booth.
I know that guy. I don't know him, but I know who that is. I'm familiar with the guy's game.
Yeah, you Clemson know, quarterback dude, from Lawrenceville, Georgia.
Hey, well, stop giving out his details.
Malik Nabers made him look like a JV football player in the Cowboys uniform. That's good God.
The beauty in watching, and we get to cover some high school football here in Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast, of course, ESPN West Palm Play. We give you the best coverage in this area. CCAT's going to be on the call for the game of the week. We got Central and Jupiter. You're going to be in Wellington tonight.
Good game.
The good thing about high school football, the best part about Friday Night Lights is you get to watch players do stuff like that, like on a daily basis. Like very often you see big plays where somebody dominates the other one, and you're right. He made him look like this was the high school level, and that was the D1 recruit who's going to be doing that on Saturdays and Sundays one day, except we're already playing on Sundays, and that is why I have to get to my big major takeaways from Thursday night football last night, because as boring as it was, as much of a drag as it was, there were some things to glean from it. As the Cowboys win 20-15, the Giants fall to 1-3, the Cowboys 2-2 on the year. Sneaky right here, 2-0 on the road. 2-0 on the road, those Dallas Cowboys. My three major takeaways from Thursday night football. Can I get some football music as I deliver these?
Because
I want to start with Malik Nabers, since we were on that topic. He was going to be takeaway number two. But I'm going to go number one right here just because that's seamless radio transition stuff here, theoretically speaking, as I give my major takeaways from Thursday Night Football. And starting off, number one.
Number one.
Malik Nabers, not only is he the best wide receiver in this draft, he's going to be the best receiver in this league, like very soon. Malik Nabers, number one for the New York Giants, is going to be the best wideout in the NFL, and yes, the same NFL that has Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase, and so many others. CeeDee Lamb, who was on the other side of the field. I have never seen a guy in an offense that looks so incompetent, with a quarterback who is obviously a dead man walking, still look dominant. On 15 targets last night, he caught 12 balls, 115 yards. Like you said, C-Cat, we knew going into that game that their only chance at moving the chains, their only chance at looking like any kind of an efficient offense, of creating any kind of threat, was get the ball to number one. And they still got the ball to him 12 times, and they probably could have got it to him more times if their quarterback wasn't so cheeks. That dude's going to be the best. Is that crazy? Is that too much of an overreach, especially given that we're only four games into this dude's career? He's just getting revved up.
It'd be easy for you to sit here and maybe come January say that, but I applaud your boldness.
Yeah.
No, I think it's a great statement to make. If you can look like that type of receiver on this type of decrepit offense, that says a lot. Listen, Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow lit it up his rookie year.
Yeah.
But there were other options on the Bengals, and that quarterback Joe Burrow, as much as we poke fun of him in this year, 2024, he is a lot better of a quarterback than Daniel Jones. Same thing with Justin Jefferson. Jefferson had a much better quarterback than Kirk Cousins and a couple other good targets in Minnesota when he popped on the scene. Malik Nabers, he's next up.
Let me give his stats right here. Through four games, Malik Nabers has 35 catches, 386 yards, and three touchdowns. That's incomparable already. What's even more impressive about Malik Nabers so far, he has three games already where he has 10 catches and over 100 yards receiving. Three games. Three of his four games, he's had 10 catches and 100 yards receiving. That's X stuff. That's true number one wide receiver stuff. He's doing that on a team where literally there's no other options, but still that means the defense can game plan for you. And mind you, he's one game away from a rookie record. If he has one more game with 10 catches and 100 yards, well, we would assume he will. He did go out with a concussion. He'll likely be back. He already tweeted in the morning he's good. One more game, he ties Odell Beckham Jr. for the record. Another one after that, he has the record to himself. He's four games into his career. I don't think it's hyperbole to feel like this guy is destined to be the best receiver in the league. He's going to put up some Randy Moss style of games as well when he's able to get over the top of defenses. He's fast. He's strong. He's big. He's good after catch. He's good, you know, tracking down the ball in the air. I don't really see where the flaw could potentially be in this game. And if you want to say he can't run a route, ask number 25. Like, he know good and well how good of a damn route runner Malik Nabers is. Yeah. I don't see the flaw, man, other than his own offense. Number two. Takeaway from Thursday Night Football, Cowboys 20-15 win over the New York Giants. It's the other side of the coin on that. There's nothing Daniel Jones can do now to save his career. He's done.
His career. Not his career with the Giants.
No. His career. Daniel Jones is a dead man walking in the NFL right now. And I feel comfortable saying that because not only has he gotten every single shot to prove himself in the number one media market, he's doing so not with the Jets, not with the Panthers, but with a organization that we consider to be at least a competent organization in the Giants. He's doing so with Brian Daboll, who we believe to be a really good offensive play caller. Yes, was he a little conservative last night? Was he nervous? Was he scared? Yeah, he was. Well, that's because he has his ship tied to Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones even has a solid season, if he even has an above average season, if he's able to turn things around here, who you think gets the credit for that?
Daboll.
It's either Daboll or Malik Nabers. It's not going to be DJ because we know he's going to – if there's going to be anything that good comes out of this offense this year, it's going to come with 200-plus targets to Malik Nabers.
So you think that the next time that we see Daniel Jones, Amazon Prime together, it won't be on the football field on a Thursday night in 2025. It will be Daniel Jones in a blue vest, yes, dropping off a head massager to you next year.
Yes, head massager, as well as an 8-pack of AA batteries and some toilet paper. Keep that on go. Two times a month, Amazon Prime. I think that's his... And I have nothing against Daniel Jones. I can say this because he already got his bag. 4 years, $160 million. The Giants paid him too early. They were wrong in doing so. Now they are suffering from it. This is a marriage of convenience right now. The Giants are only trotting Daniel Jones out there at quarterback because they knew they had to pay him. They can't get off of his contract until this upcoming offseason in a way that will be healthy to both the organization and the future of the roster building for that franchise. So, a marriage of convenience, just trot Daniel Jones out there, hope he doesn't get injured, and Daboll's going to try to make something of this offense, but you can already tell he's nervous behind the trigger. Daniel Jones right now, like, he can do some of the dink and dunk stuff, even though he'll miss on some of those as well, but on passes that go 20-plus air yards, which means the ball goes 20-plus yards through the air, not a 5-yard pass that somebody runs 15 yards up, but he throws the ball and it hangs in the air 20-plus air yards. He's 2-for-14 so far this year.
That's big boy quarterback.
Yeah.
That's a quarterback who is doing most of the heavy lifting on the throw.
That's like, I'm serious about this right now. Like, my offense is relying on me to move the sticks. I have a level of importance. You know what that is? That's quarterback that's getting paid $160 million over 4 years. You got to be able to connect on those. 2-for-14. 67 yards and an interception so far through four games. It's a marriage of convenience. Daniel Jones is a dead man walking, and who the hell is going to take a risk on that guy who's both injury prone, a turnover machine, and couldn't get things done with a true number one wide receiver in Malik Nabers, and someone who has proven himself to be a good play caller and a schemer in Brian Daboll. There's no reason why any team would take a chance on Daniel Jones other than to be a backup somewhere, and even that doesn't feel like a promising thing, because what is worse than not having your starting quarterback out there, knowing you got to turn around and put eight out there?
I used to feel bad for Daniel Jones because I believed that he was overdrafted, and he was.
Yeah, he was.
But after a couple of years, you're just another veteran quarterback. Okay, that reputation, the hopes that people had for you, that organization had for you in a massive media market like New York. Mm. Okay, it's hard to not live up to those hopes in your first couple of years. But this isn't your first couple of years anymore. You're getting paid that number of dollars for a reason. It's time to be that guy.
He's had more than enough shots at this point. And for Daniel Jones, I just don't see the route out of this, because even if things do turn around, he will not get the credit for it, because we have a big enough sample size of who he is. This is not Sam Darnold. This is not Geno Smith. This is not Baker Mayfield. Daniel Jones has had his opportunities with a competent organization, and he has failed. But at least he got his bag on the way out the door, and I hope he delivers my bags with Amazon Prime or DoorDash or whoever on time, because I like my stuff on time. I pay extra for that. Number three takeaway from Thursday Night Football.
Number three.
Cowboys aren't a playoff team. I hate to end on a negative note again on a Friday, on a feel-good Friday here on Theoretically Speaking. I'm usually optimistic. I like to spread joy, spread love, and good energy. But I also don't want to get your hopes up. If you are a Dallas Cowboys fan or somebody that might have maybe bet on the Cowboys to win the division or to make the playoffs in general, you can go ahead and cut ties with that bread. You can go ahead and cut ties with those hopes. That's not a playoff team. It's absolutely not. They look like they were in the same weight class as the New York Giants. It was not supposed to look like a fair fight last night on Thursday Night Football between a Giants team who is in the cellar of the NFC, who is literally walking, they're wasting a season of football on Daniel Jones right now. And the Cowboys are supposed to be a squad that re-upped on their quarterback, re-upped on their number one weapon in CeeDee Lamb. I hope Micah Parsons' ankle is okay, but you got one of the top defenders in the league right now. And Mike McCarthy, who has led you to not one, not two, but three straight 12-win seasons. You were supposed to beat the dog hell out of the Giants last night on primetime television, and you struggled. You limped through that game. You scored 20 points. And don't give me any crap about this being a divisional game, so you can't, oh, it's a divisional game on the road. I watched this same Giants team play that same Cowboys team twice last year. And the Cowboys dog walked them both times, like they should have. Nothing has changed. The Giants lost Saquon Barkley. Sure, they gained Malik Nabers, but that didn't stop you from scoring 20 points. They lost the safety as well to the Packers. Forget his name. Doesn't matter right now. He wasn't there, and the Giants held the Cowboys to 20 points. Look at this. 6 points in the second half from that Cowboys offense.
It was pitiful. Run the dang ball. Learn to run the dang ball. That's what I'm trying to get at here.
The Cowboys can't run the ball.
Their identity used to be best offensive line in football. Ooh. It used to be that way. It used to be run the rock with Zeke. Run the rock with Tony Pollard. And they have not been able to do it.
Yeah. And not only have they not been able to do it, they can't stop the run on the other side. If you can't run the ball or stop the run, you have zero shot to win, not just in today's NFL, but really anytime. There was a little glimpse, right? There was a little blimp where people thought, oh, you could just win by airing the ball out around all the time. That's gone away. That's the fundamentals of football.
Yeah. You see Devin Motor Singletary, no gloves, no armbands.
Yeah.
No tape, no nothing, just absolutely raw dog in the game last night. I love that.
I love it, too. The one thing I will say to Motor, we love him. Local guy, American Heritage Stairway, FAU alum, all that. My boy, you have never been a speed guy. What the hell was he thinking when he bounced it outside, saw he had nowhere to go to the right, and he tried to turn around and run it back towards the left? Couldn't outrun a D-tackle? The hell was the Devin Motor Singletary? You couldn't even do that crap in high school. I just am like, he ran like a 4.7 and he thought he was going to turn around and reverse the field like he was Reggie Bush. As soon as he turned around and started running the other way, I was like, man, just fall down. Mm-hmm. That was embarrassing. That was absolutely embarrassing. That's takeaway number four is Motor, what the hell has gotten into you? You are not Saquon Barkley. I think he's wearing the Saquon's number, right?
That feels wrong, but he is.
It's disrespectful.
It is a little. Give it a year or two, yeah. And you know, Saquon didn't deliver that city really any wins, but he was definitely a diamond in the rough that was that Giants organization. But it feels weird turning on a Giants game and seeing a 26 and not be Saquon.
And I get it. That's Motor's number.
Yeah.
It's Motor's number, so respect to my boy, but come on, bro. You can't be rocking the 26 in the Giants uniform trying to reverse the field and running that damn slow. It looked like it was running through the mud, running on the beach. But again, Mulder's been good for them this year. He's been a good replacement back, not last night. 14 carries, 24 yards. What's your biggest takeaway from Thursday Night Football? Mine, the Cowboys are not a playoff team. Daniel Jones is the dead man walking, and Malik Nabers is he's destined. He's destined to be the best receiver in this league. And I already feel like between Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze, and the rest of the bunch, even Xavier Worthy, the guy on my squad, the Chiefs, Malik Nabers is the best guy in that class. He just didn't have the name. He didn't have that Marvin Harrison name. He looks like the alpha of that class. 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. My three major takeaways from Thursday Night Football, but what did you walk away from last night's Cowboys win 20-15 over the Giants thinking? And please, here's where I'll really open it up. Please call in. If you had anything positive to say about the Cowboys from last night, please let me know. Because C-Cat and I were talking before the show here. We were like, was there anything the Cowboys showed you or did last night that made you think, huh? Well, never mind. I think they might have something cooking this year. We couldn't figure it out. It ain't there, outside of the fact that they snuck away with the win. 888-760-3776. Hit us up on the Baptist Health Hotline on a Friday. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle joint replacement, spine, and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. C-Cat, last night I felt like an irresponsible big cousin. I felt like a deadbeat. I felt like a terrible dude because as the Hurricane Helene was approaching, and of course it hit more of the Gulf Coast, it hit more of the west side of Florida, not over here in South Florida where we're at right now. We just got some residual storms. I got a text from a family member, one of my little cousins, Alicia. And the text was like, hey, just hoping that you and you know your wife are okay here through the storms, praying for safety, hoping everything is good. I know it's not hitting us as much down here in South Florida, but just making sure y'all are all good. And I was like, dang, because my cousin just moved down here about a year ago. She lives in the Fort Lauderdale area, so she's in the South Florida area as well. She's my little cuz. She actually has a baby now, a newborn, like 6-7 months old. And I kind of felt bad because I was like, damn, was I supposed to like shoot that text to her?
Right. Yeah.
Like the onus was supposed to be on me to do that.
Yeah, I'm with you, though. I never think about that stuff.
Oh.
I never... There could be a tornado that rips through my childhood home, and I'll forget to ask my family if they're okay. So, like, I'm on your side here in terms of I never reach out.
I got to get better at... That's part of maturing. That's part of being an adult. I do have to get better at that because I it made me feel almost sick to my stomach. Like, I told my wife, Ashley, I was like, yo, like, what do I do here? Did I screw up? She's like, oh, you know, it's not that bad. At least the hurricane wasn't. We weren't in like the impact zone.
Yeah.
So you know what I did?
What's that?
Then I thought about everybody I knew over there in like Tampa and whatnot. I shot them a text.
Gotcha. Guilty conscience.
I grew from that moment. I learned. And it worked out for me. I reconnected with a couple buddies. I said, hey, man, hey, hope y'all safe up there. Y'all stay strong. And it looks like we had some minimal damage. It looks like we survived that thing. How did you watch Thursday Night Football last night?
I watched Thursday Night Football on my couch with some takeout chilies, you know, just kind of pigged out on a burger, and I almost fell asleep in the third quarter, and then I did fall asleep in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Like, it was really just melatonin for the eyes was Thursday Night Football for me.
It was rough.
And I couldn't help but think about how much of a coward Brian Daboll is, head coach of the New York Giants. Fourth and goal from the three. You're a big underdog in the game. No. We're going to kick the field goal to still trail in the football game. Like, this team frustrates
me. Got nothing to lose
either. To no end. Like, I root for the Giants. I like the Giants. They're my second favorite team.
Really?
I want the Giants to succeed, especially when Saquon was there because he's a Penn Stater. I root for the Giants because I have a lot of Giants fans in my life, and I want them to be happy.
And that was your first love, right, before you went to the Ravens as a kid?
Grew up in New York, so I just picked the first team that was available in our broadcast area. So on Fox, I'd watch the Giants every time they came on. But the regime they have there in New York frustrates me to no end. They just give up.
Yeah.
They don't fight. It's frustrating.
Last night did feel like it almost was almost, it was like as if they were settling for three and not going for it on fourth down, almost as if they were like the better team and they expected to just be able to get the stop on the other side and get the ball back. Whereas like, no, you're the team with nothing to lose. You're the team that should be trying to look for any kind of competitive advantage, which includes squeezing out any kind of modicum of an advantage on a fourth down conversion. You do have a dual threat quarterback in Daniel Jones. That creates certain advantages in the run game. I know the offensive line wasn't blocking well all night. You have Malik Nabers, who was literally shaking dudes to their knees, had dudes touching ground, early in the first quarter. Maybe you give him a man beater or something on a third down or a fourth down. Daboll's a much smarter football mind than I am, but he's clearly either not confident in his own quarterback, which we do have some sound on him talking about Daniel Jones. We'll get to that. Or maybe he's just waiting out this season. Maybe he's just trying to, you know what it might be, C-Cat? We all know Daniel Jones is the problem. Brian Daboll is trying to do everything in his own possibility to just retain his job, to not look like the problem as well. If he goes for it on fourth down a bunch of times and they lose and miss it, they're like, yo, that was a terrible decision.
But I feel like if you don't get it, the blame will be looked at as a misplay from Daniel Jones as long as you put the ball in his hands.
I think here's the problem, though. I think Daniel Jones is so bad right now that he can make a good play call look like a bad decision. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, there's sometimes we criticize the play call, and then it's like, well, actually, this dude missed an assignment. Or this dude, he made a poor read. Remember last year in the college football playoff, Alabama-Michigan, where there was the Jalen Milroe, the fourth down or second. I forgot what kind of conversion it was.
It sealed the game, I believe, in overtime.
Was it a two-point conversion or was it a fourth down? I can't remember.
It was a fourth down trying to score a touchdown to match Michigan.
It was you had to get it.
Yes.
And the play call was a Milroe read option. Well, really what happened, and people criticized the play call from Saban or whoever the OC was, but really what happened was the lineman missed his block. And the D lineman walked in there damn near untouched and just stopped the run in the backfield. So it looked like a bad play call, but really it was bad execution. And maybe Brian Daboll is like, I ain't even going to give y'all the chance to make me look like an idiot. Hey, go out there and kick the field goal. Thursday Night Football, Cowboys win it 20-15. What's your biggest takeaway? Does anybody have anything positive to say about the Dallas Cowboys, who now improved the 2-2? We go to the phone lines here on Theoretically Speaking on a Friday, the Baptist Health Hotline, and we have Joe in Jupiter. Joe, it's a victory Friday for you and your Cowboys today. Is there anything positive you gleaned from that win last night?
Not at all. Nope. You know, I call into the show for therapy, and you try to keep me from walking off the ledge.
Yes.
I'm a couple inches closer.
No!
I'm so sick of seeing Mike McCarthy hold that Denny's menu thing in front of his face like he's doing something. How many penalties can we have in one game and still win the game? I mean, have you seen our next four games? We're going to be 2-6 by Thanksgiving, I think. I hope not.
I was just about to give that. Here, how about this, Joe? I'm going to go through the next six games for you. You tell me which one you feel. Give me a confidence level 1 to 5 on each of them. So next game is at the Steelers. You have at the Steelers on October 6th.
Done. Nope.
Okay. You have the Lions at home after that.
Forget it.
The 49ers, you get a bye week. You get a bye week, and then you get the 49ers on the road.
That don't matter. That just gives us more time to think about bad plays. Forget it. Nope.
You're not going to win the bye? Everyone's got to win the bye.
You're going to win the bye,
nope.
And then you go, okay, how about this?
Well, November 3rd. We'll win the bye, but yes, okay.
Yeah, November 3rd at the Falcons following the 49ers game.
Well, we'll see how they do. But we'll see how they do.
That's the one where you have a shot.
We might not win it. We might not win again until Thanksgiving. I think we play the Giants.
That looks like the next winnable game there, Joe. And then you have the Eagles and the Texans at home the next two. Joe, I appreciate you. For even though you got a couple steps closer to the ledge, you still have not taken that leap, and we thank you for that. Stay with us, Joe. It's going to be a long football season for you, though. Thanks for the call. We're going to go to break. On the other side, we got our guy Jonathan Zaslow going to join us. He is going on a bit of a road trip. Matter of fact, he's already there in Tuscaloosa because we have college football tailgate on a Saturday for ESPN Radio there. He and the crew going to give us the biggest game of the weekend, Bama, Georgia. That's right. We're talking about the Tide and the Dogs on the other side with Zaz. That's C-Cat. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
You know, in the YouTube chat, my guy Jalen said Theo had to give up the big screen after C-Cat and Dean got me in trouble on yesterday's show with the wife. Were you okay? Did you come out clean from that, from the whole debacle?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, me too. I was good.
Said, I am innocent under parody law.
Yes.
The show.
The show. Yeah, it's the show cover.
Exactly.
It's just entertainment, baby.
I know. You got away with, though. You got away with it. That girl, Brittany. Oh, my God.
He's a liar. Dude. He's a liar. He's a liar. To make it up
Thanks
to my
banging,
wife.
Man.
Shut up. To make it up to my wife, I know the perfect event where nothing can go wrong. It's always a good time and a good vibe. The annual Boca Raton Bowls. ABC Supplies Great Chefs Tailgate Showcase presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group. That heats up on Tuesday, October 15th. Mark your calendars from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join me and the ESPN West Palm team at Brick in Boca Raton as we're going to have dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters serve up their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale right now. It includes all food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, soft drinks, all of the nines. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase your tickets today. And C-Cat, you got to go to that website as well to get your ticket, man. Told you, no freebies out here.
Do you know any Britneys? I don't know any Britneys. That's the fake girl name I use often.
I know too many Britneys.
Oh,
is
no.
The thing. Yeah, I know plenty of Britneys. Matter of fact, I used to work with a Britney out here in Palm Beach County.
Oh, so that was that Britney that you
Oh, my gosh. C-Cat is out here trying to, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Jalen says C-Cat a terrible wingman. Someone who I feel like would be the perfect wingman, at least back in the day before he was a family man, is my guy Jonathan Zaslow. Last time I saw him, we were kicking it in the suite at FLA Live, or excuse me, Amerit Bank Arena, watching some wrestling. And the next time I see him, he's going to be at the stadium. Tuscaloosa, Georgia versus Bama. Zaz, how's it going, man? Appreciate you pulling up.
Theo, thanks for having me, man. It's good to talk to you. I'm in beautiful Tuscaloosa right now.
Whoa.
I've never been here before. I'm very big in Tuscaloosa, so I'm glad I'm able to make my presence here, you know, for the very first time. It is a very, very big weekend here.
I heard everybody's big in Tuscaloosa. I heard that's the thing.
Well,
Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself.
you know, big fish, small pond kind of situation here, Theo.
No, here, Zaz, you said beautiful Tuscaloosa, though. And I will say this, out of all the college football stadiums I was able to go out and visit and cover when I was in South Georgia, I never got a chance to actually go out there to Tuscaloosa. What is the vibes like? Is it a nice place to go visit and enjoy the ambiance of some SEC football?
Well, so look, I'm going to get more of a feel for it tonight. You know, tonight I host Amber and Ian on the road on ESPN Radio. That's at 7 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to be live at a bar, an Irish pub called Innisfree. But we did stop by there last night. So I hung out there last night, got a few drinks, watched Thursday night football, and I can tell you it's so college. I mean, look, I'm 43 years old, all right? So it's been 20 years. Since I left that scene, I felt very old. All right, you know, everyone is so very young, but it did remind me of how much fun it is to be around that type of atmosphere, especially a big game weekend. So I'll get more of a feel for it tonight because we're doing the show live there from that pub this evening, and then of course tomorrow we're in the Airstream studio for College Football Tailgate. But it's serious business. I mean, I went to school in Gainesville at University of Florida, and I'm sure it's the same way here. You got a game like this, Georgia, Alabama, city shuts down.
Absolutely shuts down. And Zaz, I would say this, be careful saying you feel old around C-Cat because he generally responds to that with you should, which I think is crazy, C-Cat. Where do you come off doing that to people?
Yeah, I told my grandma that on her birthday last week. I called her for her birthday and she said, oh, Christian, I feel old. And I didn't know what to say in that moment, so I said, you should. And apparently that was bad.
That's like what my father does to me now. You know, every birthday, my father is now 76. And so every birthday he goes, hey, you know, how do you feel about your dad being 76? What do you think about it? I go, yeah, you're pretty old.
What's
you.
Up with y'all?
Yeah, right? We're both adults here.
I mean, I was taught not to do that. Maybe. Okay, you know what? I'll take note. I'll try that out next time in my family and see if I walk away with all of my limbs. Zaz, You're going to be out there, obviously, for what is the biggest game of maybe the year, but definitely the weekend, Bama and Georgia. Who do you feel like this game means more to? Because Bama's got the new head coach in Kalen DeBoer, but Georgia, they got some demons to exercise from last year's SEC championship game.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Alabama absolutely owns this series. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just own Georgia. We're talking now. You know, these are really the preeminent programs in college football over the last decade. In the last 10 years, you have 9 SEC championships between these teams, 5 national championships between these two teams. They're meeting now for the 7th time in the past 8 seasons. But how about this? In those 8 seasons, it's now only the 2nd time that it's in a home stadium. Both times here at Bryant Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa. So what does that mean? It means they've been meeting in either the SEC championship game or the national championship every year. So the stakes are very, very high, but Alabama absolutely owns them. I mean, how about this? You know, Kirby Smart, UGA, since 2021, they're 45-2. No regular season losses. They're 45-2. You want to take a guess who the 2 has come from?
Roll Tide.
That's right. So this is such a monster, and I think there's a ton of pressure on both coaches here, but man, Alabama has just owned Georgia.
And the funny thing is the rise of Kirby Smart at Georgia kind of coincided with Georgia and the Bulldogs feeling like, okay, now we finally can take on the big dog. We can take on Big Brother, and they got over that hump. One time they got over that hump in a pretty at least a confident amount of way there. For you, though, for Georgia, since Bama doesn't have the Nick Saban aura hanging over them right now, if they're able to get this win, especially on the road, doesn't that kind of do more for that program and the confidence around it? Because it's not only saying, hey, we beat your new guy now that Saban is gone, but it's also saying we did it at your house in a game where a lot of people are picking Bama. It feels like the public is on Bama this time.
Yeah, I'm on Bama too, but it certainly, you know, it gets the monkey off the back of Kirby Smart, you know, where he could finally, I guess, exercise that demon. And look, I think Georgia's looking for a big bounce back game. Not that they've lost yet this year, but the last time we saw them 2 weeks ago, it's a 13-12 late victory at Kentucky. You know, like they were really tested early on in the season. And Georgia kind of has to win this game because obviously, we know an SEC schedule is so tough, but if Georgia were to lose this game, still on your schedule, you're at Texas, that's in a few weeks, you're at Ole Miss, you have Tennessee at home later in the season, like, you look at this schedule right now, there's a much better chance of Georgia losing 3 games, maybe even 4 games, than going undefeated, you know? So, what happens tomorrow, I think, kind of sets the tone for what the rest of the season could look like for Georgia.
Jonathan Zaslow joining us here on Theoretically Speaking. He of ESPN Radio's College Football Tailgate, the new edition of the tour here on the radio side, which I absolutely love, Zaz. I do have to ask you a question, though, here, and it's not about the football game. It's about your past. When I looked you up, as we were trying to find a photo of you, I found out they call you the Cooper City Rattlesnake. The hell does that mean?
Of course. Everybody knows that. Well, number one, I love pro wrestling, all right? And everybody knows, you know, the real Rattlesnake is Stone Cold Steve Austin. But I'm the Cooper City Rattlesnake. I've earned that reputation. I didn't come up with it. You can't come up with your own nicknames. That's very lame if you come up with your own nickname. So I didn't come up with that, all right? I've been dubbed that, and it fits, so I certainly don't fight it. But everybody knows I run Cooper City, all right? It's a small little suburb, you know, in the Davie, Pembroke Pines area, and nothing happens without me knowing about it. So
you got to check
Cooper
in.
City Rattlesnake. I run that joint.
You got to check in with the Rattlesnake when you pull up to Cooper City, baby.
So if I get pulled over and I get a speeding ticket in Cooper City, do I tell them that I know Zaz?
You might want to mention me. Now, I'm not saying that's a guarantee, but it's not going to hurt. You might want to mention me.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Now I need to go visit Cooper City a little bit and throw my weight around. And if anybody tries me,
See, you're going about it wrong. You do need to visit Cooper City, but throw your weight around. No. I just got done telling you. I run this.
Oh, my bad. I thought by proxy, since you're on our show now here weekly, that I also can say if I get in any trouble throwing my weight around, yo, Zaz got me, dog. I got Zaz.
I mean, maybe if you're with me, you know, you could throw your weight around. But, you know, if you come into my town and you start, you know, a big shot, I don't know that that's going to work out so well for you.
Okay, I will pump the brakes on that. I will go back to the drawing board on that, but at least I know I have a name card to pull if I am right. Tried at all there. Now, for the good people that know how to get you on ESPN Radio and know how to get you on the college football game days tailgate, how else can they get Zaslow 2.0? Because the show is going in a whole new direction these days, huh?
Yeah, thanks so much. Zaslow Show 2.0. I've been doing it for 2 years now. So wherever you get your podcast, you know, is Spotify, Apple. I can't name every place. I'll be here forever, Theo. I don't want to take up your entire show. But wherever you get your podcast, you can get Zaslow Show 2.0 Monday through Friday. It's obviously a South Florida-specific podcast. It's brought to us by our friends Anajar and Levine, Accident Attorneys. They are the title sponsor of everything Zaslow Show 2.0. They treated me like family when I started the show. And if you're dealing with a personal injury, you need someone who's going to do the same for you and fight for you. So whatever injury you're dealing with, it could be a car accident or a hit and run or motorcycle, boating, slip and fall. You worry about your health. And you let Anajar and Levine get you the compensation you deserve. You call 800-747-3, 800-747-3733. Anajar and Levine, they have a specific set of skills they will put to work for you. 800-747-3, 800-747-3733. And, of course, Theo, tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, I host Amber and Ian on the road. We are at an Irish pub called Innisfree here in Tuscaloosa. And then tomorrow, I'm in the Airstream studio. We're right outside Bryant Denny Stadium, and that's at 10 a.m. Eastern with college football tailgate. It's going to be great.
Enjoy the game. We'll be tapped in, Zaz. And to the Cooper City Rattlesnake, I know I always got some cover. Yeah. Yes.
That's right.
Appreciate you pulling up again. That's Jonathan Zaslow. You can catch him at Zaslow Show on Twitter, on Instagram, anywhere you want to find people and connect with them and follow his work. He's great. He's entertaining. And he also runs Cooper City. So if you ever have any problems in Cooper City, you hit me up, and then I'll hit Zaz up, and we're going to all go up there and handle biz. That's how it's going now. It's a chain of command. I'm in that now, C-Cat. You heard the man.
Exactly. I feel like I need to have, what do they call it, PBA cards if you get pulled over and the shows that you support the police. I need, like, approved by Zaz card. Like, no. We've spoken once over the phone. I texted him twice, so me and Zaz are pretty much two peas in a pod.
You pull up there, your text with Zaz, and it says, hey, are you good for 230?
Yeah, exactly. Second in command.
Yeah. I absolutely love that. You know what else I love? Because if you're going to travel to Cooper City, you got to find a way to get there, and the only way to get there safely, you buckle up that seatbelt, you hop on the safe bound, get around. Absolutely love that from Zaz. Jalen hops in the chat and says, yeah, you can't do Meemaw like that, C-Cat. Relax. Safebound Get Around is brought to you by Safebound Moving and Storage. You're safe with Safebound. They've been actually holding you down for quite some time. So if you haven't tapped in with them either for your storage needs or your moving concerns, might you make today that day that you give them a buzz? Safebound Moving and Storage. They are South Florida's moving company. Now, I know you're wondering, okay, how does this process work? I'm glad you asked, because actually my little sis already went through it herself. You call them up, you get a consultation. You can do that either virtually, or you can have somebody pull up to your apartment, your condo, your home, and check out the space, see what they need to do to set up the move. After that, the ball's in their court. You pay, they play. They pull up on you, they box your stuff up, they put it in the truck, they bring it to where you need it. Whether you're moving in the county, out of the county, from Florida or to Florida, Safebound Moving and Storage is the company to rock with, so go ahead and rock with them. You're safe with Safebound.
Next stop.
First stop of the Safebound Get Around, we're going just up the road to Orlando, Florida, because Coach Prime delivers a guarantee for this weekend's Colorado versus UCF game. But it's not what you think.
I shouldn't say this, but this is the way we do it. I'm going to be honest with y'all because I love you like that. But a lot of recruits that really want to see us, they will sign up to go to the game.
Okay.
On the behalf of the opposing team.
Okay.
So I made y'all by and say, hey, how you doing? What's going on? But it'll be a tremendous amount of recruits. I guarantee you they'll have their biggest recruiting weekend this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Now I'm just interested to see how many recruits are going to be on the sideline.
No, it's going to be crazy.
I feel like I'm going to be watching.
No, I guarantee
you. Yeah.
Yeah, I guarantee you. Yeah, it's every recruit in Florida is going to be on that sideline.
You believe him?
No. Right. I think it's one of those things where we know people in our lives that do this that might have one example of that, of a kid who's visiting UCF.
Yeah.
It's interested in Colorado, made it known that he wants to see that squad, and they're going to blow it out of proportion and say, a lot of people are telling me that they're going to UCF just to watch Colorado.
Exactly.
It's one person.
And also, the other side of that could be, yeah, I'm actually interested in UCF, but I actually want to see them beat up on Colorado. That'll be a fun show.
It sure would. The bounce house will be rocking for that game.
So it makes sense if you're going to pick a UCF game to want to go to the game where they get to play against some top five NFL talent, but it's not to go to Colorado next year. Nobody even thinks Coach Prime's going to be at Colorado next year.
Next stop.
Let's go to Vegas. Why don't we?
They don't even recruit freshmen. They do transfers.
Circa Sports Vice President try to keep UNLV quarterback Matt Sluka, the biggest story in college sports this week, try to keep him from redshirting by offering him a $100,000 NIL deal to stay, but the university blocked the transaction.
Not only are y'all broke at UNLV, you're stupid. How you gonna be broke and stupid? Y'all have a chance to be a 12-team playoff squad in the debut year of the 12-team playoff. 10, 20, 30 years, decades from now, we could be talking about, it was UNLV that was the first group of five team to make the 12-team playoff as the highest-rated conference champion out of the group of five. But you're letting your ego get in the way. You let your broke, shallow pockets get in the way the first time. And now you're letting your ego get in the way by not letting this dude pay your bills to play quarterback. You know who wouldn't do something stupid like that?
Who?
Pittsburgh Steelers. Look who's paying their quarterback. And they're paying him to sit on the bench.
That's amazing.
Smart move, man.
Next stop.
Was that sarcastic when you said that's a...
Yeah. Next stop is Cleveland, Ohio.
It was amazing. That's not amazing. I hate Cleveland.
Donovan Mitchell. He said that he believes the Cavs can win the NBA title if they're healthy. Remember, he just agreed to a 3-year, $150.3 million max extension this summer.
He's right. If the Cavs are healthy and everybody else is injured or dead, they can win the NBA Finals. But if the Cavs are healthy and there's like relative normal health throughout the rest of the National Basketball Association, they've got absolutely no chance. Sorry, D. Mitch.
And that's a get around.
That's it. Safe bound get around. Sorry to end on a morbid note. But what the hell was he thinking? I mean, I know that's what he has to say. At least he's not like Davante Adams, who's like, I wish we had that quarterback. Like, at least he has some belief in his team, but like, jeez. All right. On the other side, we have cats and dogs. C-Cat's going to deliver to you where you should be maybe investing in some of the teams that nobody else believes in. The cats and dogs always gives you some insight into the football weekend. I can't wait because he's going to sound like that Kramer dude on NBC. We're theoretically speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Oh man. It's that time of the week. It's that time of the Friday where we get to sit back and embrace and learn not only to get an edge on the books, right? Learn not only where we should maybe place a little scratch, but also we get to hear C-Cat evolve into a man that's unfamiliar to me. Ladies and gentlemen, I spare you no more time in waiting. Here it is, this Friday's Cats and Dogs.
David versus Goliath.
Be a dog.
Rocky versus Apollo Creed.
We don't need no meow.
Average Joe's versus Globo Gym.
We don't need no cats.
C-Cat versus the sports book.
We need more dogs.
Underdogs are the lifeblood of sports. And every week, C-Cat gives you the underdogs that will shock the world. Welcome to Cats and Dogs, presented by SafeBound. You're safe with SafeBound.
Oh, yeah, dog, yeah. We got nighttime mashup in Tuscaloosa. That's got me channeling my southern roots. Georgia, Bama, under the lights in Bryan Denny Stadium. Georgia might be calling all the dogs. They might be the Bulldogs, but that right there, plus one, that ain't no dog. Ain't no real dog. Ain't no underdog. You can't fool me, Kirby. Saying the world doubted two times. time, champs. That boy right there, Kirby Smart, they called him. His cornbread ain't done in the middle, if you get me. We go elsewhere in the South to find the real dog. And unfortunately, as much as it pains me to say, them owls in Boca, they're softer than cotton candy in the rain. FAU is giving up 273 rushing yards per game. That's the second worst of the nation. Wagner, 31.5 point dogs on the road at FAU. I forgot to mention, it's AJ and Big Justice Day at Howard Schnellenberger Field. Absolute disgrace. Take them yuppies from Staten Island. Wagner, plus 31.5.
You're a sicko. I'm sorry. Hold on. Where the hell did this accent come from?
I channeled my southern roots. You get me?
I don't know if I'm more impressed with you having Wagner versus FAU stats, like real a line there, a dog, or how in character this feels. If this is somebody's first time tapping in, this sounds like this is just your thing. This is how you talk.
To dog number two. I ain't being too big for my britches, but them West Coast boys ain't tough like the fellas in the Big Ten. They out there with the avocados and licking the wounds after getting bullied by Michigan in the Big House. USC ain't got no business being 15.5 point favorites hosting Wisconsin. I don't give a rat's ass if Wisconsin is going on the road. Wisconsin had lost to Bama. Newsflash, everybody lose to Bama. Everybody lose to Bama. It's going to happen. They have 2 weeks to prepare for cowardly Lincoln Riley. And as a matter of fact, what kind of name is Lincoln anyway? Should have named him Jefferson. Perhaps Robert. Perhaps Robert Lee. I don't know. I'm just spitballing. Take the Badgers plus 15.5. To Sunday we go for dog number three. Real Man Football play on Saturday, of course. Of course.
How about it?
This pick right here, it makes me nervous. Real nervous. Nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs, but like Luke and Bo Duke in my favorite show, Dukes of Hazzard, sometimes you gotta take a chance. Underdogs in the NFL, they just keep winning. Day in, day out, not just covering, winning. NFL dogs of 5.5 points or more are 15-2 against the spread this year. We're big dog hunting on this here Sunday. That Russo boy from 4-6 on these very airwaves, that yuppie gave up on the Jaguars. Perfect time to ride that boy who looks like Carrie Underwood. First the Texans.
You're picking the Jaguars over the Texans right now?
People try to tell me, see, Cat, you ain't fair. You can't fair. Fair? Fair? Fair is a place where they jug pigs, sweetheart. After all, Jacksonville might be more southern than Houston these days anyway. Jags plus the 6.
If you ever take a shot at Houston again in this thing, I'm shutting the show down. Absolute cat right there.
Dog number 4.
Southern.
Speaking of West Coast softies, we got a team that's filled with cheap sons of guns. Brandon Ayuk, he squeezes a quarter so tight the eagle screams. He's so cheap, he wouldn't give a nickel to see Jesus ride a bicycle. Patriots are coming off a midi bye. More time to prepare. And that there Kyle Shanahan, that right there, that boy with the hat with the tiny, itsy-bitsy 49ers logo. When it comes to close games late, that boy, that porch light's on, but nobody's home. His brain rattles around like a BB in a boxcar. Patriots, I like the sound of that. USA, USA, take the team that's truly America first. Not like those commie Niners. Patriots plus the 10. And that is your fourth dog.
I like that. I like that last one. I'm not sure how much I'm in on Shanahan folding down the stretch, but I'm a fan of that. Pats, is regular C-Cat back, or do we still have Southern Cat?
Got me back. My thighs hurt. So, like, to be in the camera for this segment,
your thighs?
I gotta do a split, essentially.
Why?
Why? Yeah, because I gotta get lower.
You don't have to be, you're full framed right now.
To stand up and do it.
Okay, man. That was quite incredible. That was your best Cats and Dogs yet. I do think that it took some of the wind from underneath my sails when you said Jacksonville was more Southern than Houston. And also, when you put the Southern accent on, and when you say when you were saying, I was like, how often have you tried this out before? Is this your debut of your Southern accent, or is this a thing you do?
It's my first time.
Really?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I lived in Oklahoma for 2 years. They don't really have the entirety of a Southern accent. It's more the Plains area. But that was my first time.
And you've never lived in the South for real?
No.
You haven't been in the thick of it?
No, that was the closest I've been to living in the South is Oklahoma.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
I think I bounced around regionally.
Yeah.
Like I went a little Savannah sometimes.
Yeah, a little bit. I saw a little bit of that, a little Georgia peach.
It's hard to yell in a Southern accent. That's what I found. Any accent.
It is, but I will say, back when I was in South Georgia and I listened to a lot of like Dog Nation Daily and followed the dogs and everything, you sound like some of the callers that will call into that and damn near some of the show hosts. I mean, the dude, it felt like you grew up in SEC Nation. That was amazing. That right there, where's my applause? There. That was excellent. Cats and Dogs lives on. And outside of the Texans versus Jaguars pick, I would say follow everything that man said.
Wow.
We continue on with Theoretically Speaking into the happy hour. We don't have any Tina or any Dean, but we do have that man C-Cat who Jalen says is flexible. So that's a compliment. You're flexible and you're Russell Westbrook.
Nice. I'll take it.
We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.